Let's pray together. Awesome and loving God, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for the example of love that you gave us in Christ. And we pray now, God, that you would give us the courage and the strength that we might love one another in that same way. God, I thank you for these words that you have given me to share through your Holy Spirit. And God, as I share them, I pray that there would be more of you in them and less of me. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in the third week of a series that I'm preaching through the first letter of John. This week, the series takes us to some instruction that John included about what he refers to as God's commandment. God's commandment. I love how he refers to it in the singular, right? Like it's a package deal. And that commandment is, believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Here's what I think. We are sitting here, most of us awake, worshiping God with this Christian community. Amen, church?
Amen.
With this Christian community. We say we are Christians. We claim Christ. I personally am confident that we are doing pretty well on the first part of the command to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. But the other half of this commandment, love one another, is an entirely different story, isn't it? It's a different story. So I will be spending my time this morning there, just like John did in this passage. You see, John went from verse 11 all the way to verse 23 before he ever said anything about believing in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The rest of this part of chapter 3 is completely focused on loving one another and what that looks like. John was writing to Christians, right? John was writing to Christians. It is easy to assume that people who claim to be Christians, especially in a time when that claim could get you killed, it's easy to assume that they believe in Jesus, right? It's easy to assume that. I think John included that there, though. Believe in the name of his son, Jesus, and love one another. I think he included the belief part at the end because there is more to being a Christian than just believing. There is also the rest of the command, which is love one another. That's what we'll focus on this morning. We believe in Jesus, don't we? We believe in Jesus, but how are we doing it loving one another? How are we doing at the other part of this package deal commandment? So here's the deal. This is going to be like the greatest sermon that you've probably ever witnessed. It's going to keep you awake. It's going to keep you engaged. It's going to make you laugh. See? You're probably going to be talking about this sermon to your friends and your family, the people that you work with. You're going to go to the grocery store later and you're not going to be able to keep quiet about this sermon because of how great and wonderful it's really going to be. You will probably never forget this sermon or the day that you heard it because it's going to be that great. That's hard work. That's really hard work. So just so that we're on the same page, I'm just making a point, right? It may or may not be great. I don't know. I was just making a point. I'm not really bragging about how great this sermon is going to be. So those of you with the daggers that you're sending me, put them back because I'm just kidding. The point is talk is
cheap.
Talk is cheap. Just because I say this sermon is going to keep you awake doesn't mean you're not going to fall asleep in a minute. Just because I say this sermon is going to be great doesn't mean this sermon is going to be great. Talk is cheap. There was an athlete who loved to use words and speech to express his greatness. He's actually quite famous for it. Can you guess who it is? Muhammad Ali. Ali was a master at talking about his greatness, wasn't he? He even rhymed as he was talking about his greatness. And maybe his most famous quote came before a fight with George Foreman, the reigning champion, the heavyweight champion of the world, called the Rumble in the Jungle in what was known then as Zaire, Africa. Ali said, you know what he said? Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. His hands can't hit what his eyes can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. George thinks he will, but I know he won't. He said other things too, like, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am, right? He said, I'm not the greatest, I'm the double greatest. I'm young, I'm handsome, I'm fast, I can't possibly be beat. And he said, I'm so mean, I make medicine sick. Ali talked, didn't he? He talked a lot about how great he thought he was. But listen, that is not what made Muhammad Ali great. Once he said, bragging is when a person says something and can't do it. I do what I say. That's what made Muhammad Ali a great fighter. Not his words, but what he did inside the ring. You see, talk really is cheap, church, isn't it? Talk is cheap. Action speaks so much louder than words. Even the best, loudest, most well-placed, poetic, and confidently spoken words, even those kinds of words don't speak anywhere near as loudly as actions. Talk is cheap. That's what John told his readers in this letter. Talk is cheap, church. This is especially true when it comes to love. Especially true when it comes to love. This part of the letter that John wrote is a plea to the church from one of its leaders to love through action, to love one another, not by saying that you do, but by showing that you do, not by speaking, but by doing. He said, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. Listen, sometimes I choose to love in word and speech, but fail to love in action. Sometimes I guard my life rather than laying it down for others. Sometimes, despite the fact that I know the Bible and I know that it is loaded with verses and passages that tell me, that God uses to tell me, to convince me to love my neighbor, to love all people, even knowing all of that, sometimes I don't love my neighbor. Sometimes I don't love all people. I just say I do. Talk is cheap. How about you? You're like, nope, that's just your problem, Pastor Jim. You ever find yourself guarding your life instead of laying it down for others, for your neighbor, for your enemy, for all people? Are you ever like me, knowing the Bible and knowing how clearly God tells you through it to love your neighbor, but instead of loving your neighbor, you just say that you do? You just use words and hope that that's enough? Do you ever guard your life by convincing yourself that talk isn't as cheap as it actually is? Ever find yourself loving your neighbor through words and speech rather than truth and action? We're not always very interested in giving up what we have to give up in order to show our love through action rather than only expressing it through words and speech, are we? We're not, are we? It's a whole lot easier to say, I love the poor. I do. I love the poor. It's a lot easier to say that than it is to go hang out with them, isn't it? Take them to breakfast, take them to lunch, or just sit on the curb, talk to them, find other ways to invest your own resources, including your time and your emotions in them. It's easier to say, I love them. It's a whole lot easier to say, I love liberals. I do. Or I love conservatives. Than it is to actually meet them for coffee and have a civil conversation with them that ends in a handshake rather than two children storming away because they didn't get what they wanted. It's so much easier to say we love people than it is to actually love people. And so in order to keep ourselves safe and comfortable. Safe and comfortable, we use words. We say we love everyone, even the poor, even the addicts, even the criminals, even the people who have hurt us, even the people who have different politics and different worldviews than we do. We say we love them with words and speech, and then we don't have to lay down our lives for them, right? Easy peasy, right? If I say I love them, then God is happy and I can be finished, right? I love them. I do. I love them. But we forget. That's not what made Muhammad Ali great, is it? It wasn't his wonderful poetic words that made Muhammad Ali great. It's not the cocky words of a preacher before he preaches that makes for a great sermon. It wasn't Jesus' claim to love the world that made him love us enough to die on the cross. And it's not your claims to love one another that actually expresses love for one another. Talk is cheap. Church, actions speak louder than words. God clearly tells us through this passage to lay down our lives for one another, doesn't it? Is this not God's word that we're reading? And he says, lay down your life for one another. In John's letter, he says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How, John says, does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need yet refuses to help? Let little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. I mean, really, John offers some simple advice here, doesn't he? We make it too hard. It's simple, though. We know what love is by our knowledge that Jesus laid down his life for us. We then ought to lay down our lives for one another. And part of doing that is by loving, not in words or speech, but in truth and action. I think the confusion or the fear comes in the part that says he laid down his life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. It's tempting to brush past that little part knowing what it looked like for Jesus to lay down his life, isn't it? It's tempting to brush past that. I don't want to die on a cross. I don't want to die on a cross, and I sure don't want to read in Scripture that God wants me to. So sometimes I just blow by that one, right? No harm, no foul. I didn't like that part, so I pretended not to really see it, right? But I think there's more to it than that Jesus laid down his life on the cross. Jesus was laying down his life for us all the way up to the cross too, right? He was laying down his life all the way to the cross. I don't think John is telling us that we ought to die on the cross because Jesus died on the cross. I think John is telling us that we ought to stop living as though our lives are more important and more precious than anyone else's life. Amen? Amen. We love people in word and speech because it doesn't require us to lose any part of our lives, right? It's easy. It's easy. Saying we love someone changes nothing about our lives. We sacrifice nothing at all for a person to say we love them, right? It's safe, it's easy, it's comfortable, and we get to keep our life just like we like it when we do it. Our life stays exactly the same as it was before we spoke those safe words. I love them. But John tells us to love in action, right? John tells us to love in action and that we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Loving in action requires us to lay down our lives. It requires us to step out of the comfort, to step out of the convenience, to step out of the easy, safe confines of only saying that we love one another from afar, but not getting down and dirty with it, right? Loving in action requires us to lay down our lives. It requires us to sacrifice something about ourselves. And that is what John clearly called us to in this passage. He laid down his life for us, and so we ought to lay down our lives for one another. In Feasting on the Word, theologian Ronald Cole Turner explains this. He wrote, "Laying down our lives at its core can mean any number of ways in which we lay aside our claim to own our lives. We lay down our lives when we put others first. We lay down our lives when we live for the good of others. We lay down our lives when we take time for others, to others. To love others is to lay down our life for them. When we lay down the completely normal human desire to live for ourselves, and when instead we allow the love of God to reorient us toward the needs of others, then we are laying down our lives." Listen, there is nothing about saying we love someone that requires us to lay down our lives for them. Nothing. Zero zilch. There is no sacrifice in saying we love one another. And saying we love one another does not make us love them, church. Amen? It doesn't. It is in the doing that we love. It is in the action we are willing to take on behalf of one another that we love one another. The evidence of our love for one another is not in the words that we use. It is in the laying down of our lives for them. Talk is cheap. We ought to stop doing it so much. What if we did? What if we stopped talking so much? And you're like, yeah, we could get to lunch. What if we stopped talking so much, at least about love, and started acting on it instead? What if we stopped saying we love people and expecting that to be enough and started showing them our love instead and didn't talk about it unless we were willing to show it? Right? What if we all challenged ourselves to seek and find and believe in Scripture that we are called to love one another? And then what if every time we claim through words to be doing that, we also ask ourselves how we are proving it by our actions? What if every time you said, "I love so-and-so," you had to prove it by something that you do or you're willing to do to prove that? I think of Mother Teresa whenever I think of loving others in truth and action. I always think of Mother Teresa. Listen, that woman would never have had to tell anyone that she loved them, right? She would never have had to walk the streets of Calcutta claiming to love the people there. Why? Why? Because she didn't love them in word and speech. She loved them in truth and action and sacrifice and by doing things that they needed her to do. She literally laid down her life for the ones that she loved. She would never have had to say it. Talk is cheap. What if we stopped trying to use it to love one another with and committed to loving like Jesus and Mother Teresa did in truth and in action? Love would be so much more powerful in this world if the church and every single member of it made that commitment. Amen? Amen. Love would be so much more powerful. Love would stop being a feel-good word for the self-righteous to use to convince themselves that they are doing the right thing. It'd stop being that, and it would become an action that makes the world better, that helps people, that takes the example Christ left for us and puts it to work in this world where there is so much need for love, for real, lay down your life, make a sacrifice for someone else, love. That's my prayer this morning. I pray that we, the church, and every member of it would stop using love as a word and start using it as the powerful, life-altering, world-changing action that God intended it to be. Scripture says, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another." I hope we will. Let's pray together. Awesome and loving God, thank you so much for loving us through Christ. God, we can see him loving us throughout his whole life. We see him laying down his life for us and loving us even before he got to the cross. And then he did it some more. And that is how we know love. And so now, God, I pray that you would make us likewise. Help us to love like he did, not in words and speech, but in truth and action. God, give us the courage that we need to prove our love by the things we're willing to do for one another. We pray all this in the precious name of Christ. Amen.